might have been better off in the snake pit," said Rincewind, turning away. Creosote took another sorrowful glance at his empty wine bottle.
"I know where there's the magic carpet," he said.
"No," said Rincewind, raising his hands protectively. "Absolutely not. Don't even...
It belonged to my grandfather."
"A real magic carpet?" said Nigel. "Listen," said Rincewind urgently, "I get vertigo just listening to tall stories."
"Oh, quite," the Seraph burped gently. "Genuine. Very pretty pattern."
He squinted at the bottle again and sighed.
"It was a lovely blue colour," he added.
"And you wouldn't happen to know where it is," said Kanina slowly, in the manner of one creeping up very carefully to a wild animal that might take fright at any moment.
"In the treasury. I know the way there. I'm extremely rich, you know. Or so they tell me."
He lowered his voice and tried to wink at Kanina, eventually managing it with both eyes.
"We could sit on it," he said, breaking into a sweat. "And you could tell me a story."
Rincewind tried to scream through gritted teeth. His ankles were already beginning to sweat. "I'm not going to ride on a magic carpet," he hissed. "I'm afraid of grounds." "You mean heights," said Kanina, "and stop being silly." "I know what I mean. It's the grounds that kill you." The Battle of Al-Khali was a hammer-headed cloud in whose roiling depths weird shapes could be heard and strange sounds were seen. Occasional misses seared across the city. Where they landed, things were different. For example, a large part of the soak had turned into an impenetrable forest of giant yellow mushrooms. No one knew what effect this had on its inhabitants, although possibly they hadn't noticed. The temple of Ofla, the crocodile god, patron deity of the city, was now a rather ugly, sugary thing, constructed in five dimensions. But this was no problem because it was being eaten by a herd of giant ants. On the other hand, not many people were left to appreciate this statement against uncontrolled civic alteration, because most of them were running for their lives. They fled across the fertile fields in a steady stream. Some had taken to boats, but this method of escape had ceased when most of the harbour area turned into a swamp in which, for no obvious reason, a couple of small pink elephants were building a nest. Down below the panic on the roads, the luggage paddled slowly up one of the reed-lined drainage ditches. A little way ahead of it, a moving wave of small alligators, rats and snapping turtles was pouring out of the water and scrambling frantically up the bank, propelled by some vague but absolutely accurate animal instinct. The luggage's lid was set in an expression of grim determination. It didn't want much out of the world except for the total extinction of every other life form. But what it needed more than anything else now was its owner. It was easy to see that the room was a treasury by its incredible emptiness. Doors hung off hooks, barred alcoves had been smashed in, lots of smashed chests lay around, and this gave Rincewind a pang of guilt, and he wondered for about 2 seconds where the luggage had got to. There was a respectful silence, as there always is when large sums of money have just passed away. Nigel wandered off and prodded some of the chests in a forlorn search for secret drawers, as per the instructions in Chapter 11. Kanina reached down and picked up a small copper coin. "How horrible," said Rincewind eventually. "A treasury with no treasure in it." The Seraph stood and beamed.
"Not to worry," he said.
"All your money has been stolen," said Kanina.
"The servants, I expect," said Creosote. "Very disloyal of them."
Rincewind gave him an odd look. "Doesn't it worry you?"
"Not much. I never really spent anything. I've often wondered what being poor was like."
"You're going to get a huge opportunity to find out."
"Will I need training?"
"It comes naturally," said Rincewind. "You pick it up as you go along." There was a distant explosion, and part of the ceiling turned to jelly.
Excuse me, said Nigel. "This carpet."
"Yes," said Kanina, "the carpet." Creosote gave them a benevolent, slightly tipsy smile.
"Ah, yes, the carpet. Push the nose of the statue behind you, Peach Buttock's jewel of the desert dawn."
Kanina, blushing, performed this act of minor sacrilege on a large green statue of Ofla, the crocodile god. Nothing happened. Secret compartments assiduously failed to open.
Try the left hand.
She gave it an experimental twist. Creosote scratched.